we're here today, and it's good to gather with you. I'm glad that I get to gather with you, and I really enjoyed last week's brunch. Did y'all have a good time? I thought it was a good time of gathering. We're going to see what we can do to find more ways to continue to do that, and so we've been talking about just some ideas, so we'll see where that leads, but I am looking forward to more of that, because I really believe that even as we talk about this message this morning, we're going to find that it's about community, and it's about being together, and it's about the Lord working in us through community, and so that's what we're going to go for this message this morning. But we're going to continue this empowerment that we are going with as we work towards the day of Pentecost, and we're looking at the idea of the empowering of the Holy Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we did that. We pressed into the idea that when Jesus told his disciples, go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. So we talked about that and what that looked like. And we kind of went in a little bit of a different direction than you normally go with that, right? We went towards the more everyday, daily power for living, right? Growth and maturity and things like that, just on a day-to-day process. So going away from the big, the dynamite kind of a power, kind of a deal. And we focus more on the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit within us. Well, this morning, we're kind of swinging the pendulum back towards that dynamite power kind of stuff, okay? And so we're going to talk about that on that end of the spectrum. At least that's where we start. I want to talk about those Holy Spirit things that happen because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So, talking about that, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, because they're gifts of the Spirit or gifts from the Spirit. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. If you have your Bible, you can turn there, and we're going to read a little bit. And you might find that this doesn't exactly go where we normally take it or where we normally think. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says this. He says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and that no one can say Jesus is Lord except the Spirit. So, obviously, Paul is talking here for a second. He's like, this is chapter 12 of Corinthians, of this letter to the Corinthians. He's been writing a little while, right? This is a several-page letter, if you're actually getting this thing as a letter. And there's no numbers, and there's no headings and titles and all that kind of stuff when Paul's writing, but we've divided it up into chapters, and we get to chapter 12. That means there's a lot already that he's writing about, okay? So he's addressed all kinds of issues and said a lot of things, but he's like, he's turning the page here. He's turning the corner. All right, now, he says, now, concerning spiritual gifts, okay? I do not want you to be unaware. And so we titled this passage Spiritual Gifts or Gifts of the Spirit, right? That kind of a thing. We put our little heading up there in our Bible, that kind of a thing. But here's the deal. As Paul enters into this discussion, he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, except that when you look at the Greek, the word gifts is not there. It's kind of implied because he does go on and talk about that later on. But a lot of most other places, it's kind of like it's a phrase that's basically says, now concerning the spiritual, I don't want you to be unaware. Okay? In other places it talks about spiritual people or spiritual things or whatever. But that word gifts is assumed by the interpreter or the translators. So that's important to me as I read this scripture. He says, now concerning spiritual stuff, concerning spiritual things, I don't want you to be unaware of this. Concerning the spiritual, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant of such things, okay? And I feel like that distinction is important for us because As we read this, the way it is written, now concerning spiritual gifts, we put a capital S and a capital G, and we underline it and we make it a category. We make it a title, okay? A listing of things is where we typically go with this. And so we say, okay, spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about spiritual gifts. What are the spiritual gifts? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because here's our list of spiritual gifts that come from the Holy Spirit, and that's what we make of this, okay? We make it a list of giftings, and that's what Paul is addressing here, or that's what we make it that he's addressing. But that's, in this particular verse, that's not even what Paul writes, okay? He says, brothers and sisters, I'm addressing this because I do not want you to be unaware of the spiritual. I want you to know about this thing. I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact that there is a very real spiritual thing that is happening here. And he goes on to say, you were previously led away by mute idols. So the things that you worshiped before, it's like those idols, like you were led away by them and they were mute. Okay? You were led astray. They didn't even talk, okay? They didn't do anything. It was a rock or it was a piece of wood, okay? And it was mute. But now, you're worshiping a living God, okay? Now you're interacting with a God who is real and who does say things and who does do things and who is active in you and in the world. And I think Paul wants people to be aware of this because if you're in the mindset of worshiping mute idols, but you're basing your life off of that and you're doing things accordingly because the idol is interacting with you, even though we know it's not really interacting with you, then what are you doing? You're making it up. You're pretending, right? You're manufacturing things. If you're worshiping idols and you're saying, well, the idol, this God spoke to me and said this, okay? Or this God, I'm doing this for this God who gives me this gift or whatever. And Paul's like, listen, that's not the case here. You're worshiping a living God, okay? You have a relationship with this living God, and he really does speak, and he really does move, and he really does empower us as a community. You don't have to make this stuff up, okay? You know, it's in you, okay? You don't have to manufacture any of these things that I'm talking about, okay? Because this is real. This is the Holy Spirit. No one speaking by the Holy Spirit, he goes on, is going to say Jesus is accursed because the Holy Spirit's real. And the Holy Spirit is God, just like Jesus is God and the Father is God. And he's not going to say he's not real or he's accursed, right? Because we know he's real, right? If you're worshiping an idol, who knows what the idol might say because it's not real, right? It could contradict with what you just previously said. He said, but no, this is real. I want you to know. I don't want you to be ignorant of the fact that this is real. And so while we normally go with this, okay, here's a list of spiritual gifts that people can have, and here's we're going to go look at this as a list of things where you might find yourself. I think we miss the target if we just look at it that way, because absolutely, Paul talks about gifts from the Spirit or gifts of the Spirit in here, okay? But he's not looking to make a list of giftings. I don't believe that. He's trying to help these people understand that the Holy Spirit is real, the Holy Spirit is active, and there are some things that you can expect to happen as the Spirit works within you. Because he's real and he's active. There's some things that you can expect as the Spirit works in you and among you as a body. Okay? It's not like those mute idols. This is real. This is real. So let's keep going. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Because now he gets into the gifts. Okay? Now there are a variety of gifts. That word is there. Gifts. Okay? We'll talk about that in a second. But the same Spirit. And there are mysteries. And the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Okay? So he's like, listen, this is real. Okay? This is real. You're going to see these things. You're going to experience these things among you. And as a body, there's a variety of things that you might see the Spirit doing. Okay, there's a variety of gifts, but it's from the same Spirit. It's from the same God. It's not who may be like when you worship, when they worshiped idols, they had a God who was like over fertility, right? The God of fertility. And so if you were trying to get pregnant, or you're trying to have a good crop that year, you worshiped that God, and that God did that thing. But that's not the same God that you worshiped or that you paid homage to if you were going to war, because that was a God who did something different, right? And Paul is saying, no, this is God, and there are a variety of gifts, and there are a variety of effects, which means like different workings. There's a variety of things going on, but this is the same Spirit. What's he getting at? It's like, don't separate yourself based on what you think the Spirit is doing. Okay? It's all the same Spirit. It's all. There's a variety of effects, happenings, but the same God who is working all in everyone. In everyone. In the body. It's a key point of understanding. Verse 7. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So he says, listen, this is for everyone. It's not just for some elite people. This is not just for some key people to experience him working in them and through them. It's for everyone. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation, just think of like the something produced, right? A lot of people will say, like, they're gonna manifest something in the universe. So I'm going to speak it out there, and I'm going to manifest it. I'm going to make it happen. Well, we know that doesn't work that way. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit, the revealing, the workings, the clear proclamation of the presence of the Spirit that is happening in this place and among these people, okay? To each one, not to just a few who somehow deserve it, not to just a few who are particularly powerful in some different way, but to each one is given the manifest, it's being produced within. That sounds an awful lot like fruit, doesn't it? Right? Production of fruit of the Spirit, like we talked about. But Paul wants people to know that this is real, that there is a real spiritual thing that is happening within each one of them, even though it looks differently. To each one is manifested the gifts of the Spirit as he wills it, as he sees fit, okay? Even if it looks differently from one person to the next, it's the same God doing it. And oh, by the way, it's for the common good. It's for the people. It's for the church. It's for the gathering, okay? And that's a thing that we come back to. So let's finish this for a second. In verse 8, he says, for to one the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. Okay. So Paul, okay, he lists all these ways that people might experience the Spirit working within them and through them. And it's all, it is within the context, this is real, these things do happen, nobody has to force it, nobody has to fake it, nobody has to make this stuff up, but also, at no point, let me give you an exclusive list of the ways you might see the Holy Spirit working in and among you. Right? Let me give you a spiritual gift inventory so that you can go through and you can see where you can expect to see the Spirit working. That's not what this is. Paul is giving examples of how the Holy Spirit might work in some, and by the way, it's not every gift for every person all the time. Okay? He's like, some do this, and some see this, and some have this, and some experience it this way, but it's all the same Spirit, okay? And he keeps bringing back to this point of, it's all the same Spirit, it's all for the body of Christ. As we go on, we see that. But basically, the Holy Spirit's working within you. The Holy Spirit is working among you. And your experience will likely be different than the person that you're sitting next to with the Holy Spirit. Because he's individual. He's personal. And it's real. But that doesn't mean it's a different God. It doesn't mean it's a different truth. It's the same God. And it doesn't mean it's less valid or it's something other than the Holy Spirit. I guess what I'm trying to get at this morning is that we don't have this list of spiritual giftings or the exclusive list of spiritual giftings. We have an explanation that Paul is writing to these people of some of the ways that they might experience the Holy Spirit working in them and among them. And that should not be separating them. It should not be dividing them and creating groups and alliances according to particular gifts or particular things. It should be for the building up, for the common good of the people. Rather than, well, I want that gift. Well, I want to see that happen in me. And if that doesn't happen in me, well, I guess the Spirit's not in me. And all these things that we might go into. But we don't have an exclusive list. That's not what this is. When we capitalize spiritual gifts, capital S, capital G, when we capitalize or this as a category of things where that we want to see or we seek to find in ourselves in there, that these are the gifts of the Spirit, so I should have one of these, and I'm either a prophet or I'm a healer or I'm a worker of miracles or I'm a speaker of tongues or I'm an interpreter of tongues, whatever. When we do that, it creates this opportunity for separation, creates this opportunity for division, it creates this opportunity for levels of experiencing God, and well, I'm experiencing this, but you're not, so I must be up here. And that's like the opposite of what Paul is trying to do with this passage. Paul doesn't want these people to look at this list and try to find gifting. And then because they can find their gifting, they can find their worth in the community. Paul wants these people to understand God does stuff. He's real, okay? This is a spiritual reality for you. He does stuff, and he does it in the community, and he does it through you and through me. And it doesn't have anything to do with rank or with position. It doesn't have anything to do with who is worthy of a particular gifting, who is not. Has everything to do with God is real and he's working in and among you. You can expect it. You can expect it. And the gifts that you can expect from the Spirit are for the common good. They're for you as a body, okay? They're for the edification, for the building up of the church. As you exist in this community, the Spirit is working through each one, he says, differently, in a variety. This is not about finding your particular spiritual gift. This is about God being alive and real and a part of your real life experience in the community of the church. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 12. And he talks about there's a variety of things, okay? For just as the body is one and yet has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink from one Spirit. From there, we'll read it, but he goes on to talk about the idea, this idea of being the body, right? We are the body. And even though we're different parts, we're still one. As a body, okay? There's many parts of the body. The foot can't say, well, I'm not, so I don't belong to the body. Well, that doesn't make sense, right? Or the eye can't say to the ear, well, I'm not a, or can't say to the body, well, I'm not an ear, so I must not belong to this body. He's painting the picture of the church as a whole being being in Christ, given this variety of gifts that builds up and ministers to the community of believers. The Spirit ministering to people through other people. So this whole thing is much less about identifying your particular spiritual gift than it is about recognizing that the Spirit is in us and works through us all. Even if my experience looks different than somebody else's experience with it. We're all in Christ. We're all filled in Christ. And the Spirit is working in and through all of us. And bringing it back to that original point, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this. I want you to know this, that this is a reality that you can expect to experience in Christ. The other thing that I like about seeing this as something more than just like this list, this inventory of spiritual gifts, is that well, it allows us to see it as something other than like particular gifts, right? But it also allows us to see that these are gifts from the Spirit. When we hear the term a spiritual gift, we think automatically that person's gift is, that person's ability is, that person's talent is, right? That's how we see this word gift. They're gifted in that thing. They have a skill in that particular area. This is not about getting a particular gifting or a particular talent. Paul is writing about gifts from the Spirit to you, to the church. Okay? These are spiritual gifts for the church. And it changes the focus a little bit when you're not looking for your particular gifting or that person's particular talent or whatever, right? When we do that, that person has a gifting for healing. And so we run to that person and it becomes about that person instead of God through that person. Now, I can't deny that God does do particular things through particular people more than others, right? That's just the case, and I don't understand it. Whatever, maybe they're just more in tune to what the Spirit is doing. But Paul is saying this is not about individual, what you are and your gift. This is about gifts from the Spirit to you as people for the church, for the body, for the community. And it changes that focus a little bit. In fact, if you look at the Greek word, which again, yes, we're talking about Greek words. And the reason we talk about Greek words is because that's what Paul wrote in. He wrote in Greek. And if we don't understand the Greek word or the meaning, or if we misunderstand the Greek word, or if the English interpretation gives us a different spin, we can miss maybe what's being said. And so we go back to the Greek on this again. And the Greek word that Paul uses that we translate gift as this second time that I said that time, it is actually there. Is the Greek word is charisma, right? That's what it sounds like. That's what it looks like. Charisma. We all person is charismatic, right? So like they get a lot of like they can control a room, right? You get a lot of attention. I have a charismatic personality. Well, what's really cool is this word charisma. Let's just say charisma, because I'm not Greek. What's really cool is it is directly related to the word charis, you see that? Which is the word for grace or favor. It is a free gift, right? It is bestowed upon us. It is favor given to us without regard for what we earn or what we deserve or what this particular spiritual maturity might mean for whoever, you know, for this person, right? It is directly related to the favor of God because he loves us and he wants us to experience him in a variety of ways. So gifts, we're not just understanding that it's somebody who is gifted or somebody who has a particular ability to do something. It's with the understanding that God is doing something for you. God through you, for the church, for his people. It's understanding that he's loving his gathered people, giving you something of his own merit, not of yours. These are gifts which the Spirit gives the church. And it might come through one person in particular or another, but the Lord is doing these things for the common good of the church. So I don't ever read 1 Corinthians 12 and think, well, I don't see any of that stuff happen in me. I've never spoken in tongues. I've never interpreted tongues. I've never healed anybody. I've never performed any kinds of miracles. I've never spoken prophetically or had a word of knowledge. Right? First of all, you might have and just didn't know it. Okay? But second of all, this is not an exclusive list of things that you should shoot for. Okay? That is absolutely not the point of what Paul is writing. He's writing that the Spirit gives a variety of gifts to all according to his will for the benefit of the people. Not the institution of the church. Talking about you, us, individually, church. And these are the things that are from him for the building of this community. And I think as Paul is writing this, I mean, he feels like he has to write this because he has a sense that people are people. And that as people, we start to place importance on certain things over other things. This is better than that. Because this is better than that, then that person must be superior spiritually. All of these things, right? We do this. It's what we do as a humanity. There's opportunity in that for jealousy or for I wish I was like that person. God must not like me as much. Whatever. And so that's why he gets into this conversation about the body and the importance of variety and differences. And he even gets to this last part of this chapter and he says, listen, we're not all apostles. We're not all prophets. We're not all teachers. We don't all work miracles, do we? No. So then why do we strive to be all things in all situations from the perspective of these spiritual gifts? But we do all have a place. And at the end of this discussion about the Spirit working through people in these particular ways, because this is in the end, I mean, he does mention these things, right? That the Spirit does these things. But at the end of this, he writes in verse 31, chapter 12, he says, but earnestly desire the greater gifts. Well, we can talk all day about what are the greater gifts. But he goes on in chapter 14 to say, you know what one of the greater gifts is? It's prophecy. Why? Because it helps, it feeds, it edifies the body speaking in tongues for me, right? He said, I'd rather have you do that than this because it builds the community, which is what he's talking about. But he says, but earnestly desire, and yet, I'm going to show you a better way, a far better way. You know what the better way is? Let's read this chapter. You know it. If I speak with the tongues of mankind and of angels, but I do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. And if I give away all my possessions to charity and I surrender my body so that I may glory, but I do not have love, it does me no good. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit. It is not provoked. It does not keep an account of wrongs suffered. It does not rejoice in the unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It keeps every confidence. It believes all things. It hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away with. And if there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have also fully been known, been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love remain, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So in the middle of this discussion about these supernatural gifts from the Spirit, Paul takes the time to clarify and say, listen, if you get distracted to the point that you're after these gifts and you want these things so badly and you get these things, but you're not relating in love to the people around you, what's the point? It doesn't mean anything. If you can prophesy, if what you're doing is, if what you're doing in the name of the Spirit is not motivated by love, might not be from the Spirit, right? When I was a child, I acted like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. That is such an interesting idea to throw in there in the middle of these spiritual gifts, these idea of spiritual gifts and this conversation of love and the idea that we're pursuing these gifts, desire the greater gifts. And yet if I don't have love, I'm missing out. Pursuing the greater gifts without love is childish, right? He's like, and I put away that as I have grown. I 100% believe that the Lord moves and speaks and acts. 100%. I absolutely expect you to experience Him working in you and working through you. I believe you can even pray that, Lord, I want to see it more. Make me more in tune to You and more in tune to what You're doing in me and through me. I want to see it, Lord. Perfectly, 100% okay. I expect that He's doing some stuff in you and through you. And I think this whole section of Scripture talking about the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit is much less about specific giftings and much more about God loving His bride, loving the church, you, wanting you to expect Him in reality on the daily, right? And building the church through that relationship that comes through that. See, He doesn't want you to experience religiously experience the gifts of the Spirit, pursue these things because somehow it makes me better, makes me closer, makes me whatever. These are gifts to you for Him to show you that He loves you, right? Gifts to the church, I love you. And to build the church and to say, I'm working, I'm moving, right? It's not like the mute idols. You're not on that plane anymore. You're not pursuing, and you're not relating to a stone or to a chunk of wood anymore. No, this God is real. This God is real. And He wants you to experience Him. Not to do something for Him, but to experience Him. Because He loves you. And He loves you, and He loves you, and He loves you more and more and more. So while we can go through and we can say, okay, this is a gift of the Spirit. Sure, this is a gift of the Spirit. Prophecy comes from the Spirit. I don't think this is an exclusive list of the gifts of the Spirit. This is not the only way that God works through His people. He's just saying, like, listen, I want you to know He does work. He is moving. He is real. And He's building the church. He's building the church. Right? Why don't you stand up? And let's worship the Lord more, not because we have to, but because we get to, and we have a relationship with Him in this way. So let's move on.